Good. Let's double check the audio. Can you hear me?
You're fine, Vesa.
Yes, fine.
Thank you. Thank you. Brilliant. I almost got me scared on there. My microphone suddenly died, so but that might happen. So
Vesa, are
anyway,
you
so
still
recording.
there?
Yes, I'm
I'm
here.
kidding. I'm kidding. Go ahead, my friend.
Thanks, Frank. Cool. So, welcome everybody. This is Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices, or SharePoint Patterns and Practices, September 2016 community calls. And we always get a lot of people joining slightly late. Sorry for a small audio hiccup when we started, but I think we're all good to go right now, which is already a good thing. We get all of this recorded, so the recording will be available in YouTube, the BMP YouTube channel, later today or early tomorrow, my time, which is basically we can say that within 24 hours. And today we're gonna go through the typical setup of the BMP monthly community calls. So we're gonna go through the monthly highlights, what are the contributions and changes and improvements within the BMP samples. And then we will have demos, demos, demos. So there will be three demos, one from Courtney, one from Paolo Pialorossi, and one from Brian Micheli. Just double checking that people are arriving. They should be then arriving slightly late. I'm just making sure that everybody is present there as well. So good, Paolo is a presenter already. Great. So let's actually move on the topics, because I don't want to spend too much time on covering, let's say, the monthly updates. We have released the monthly release notes already, but before we go there, and before we go to the actual demo section where we have great demos today, just a quick clarification: what is a SharePoint BMP and Office 365 Dev BMP? So the SharePoint BMP is really there for provide code samples, guidance documentations, monthly community calls like this one. We also do bi-weekly office hours and weekly special interest group with SharePoint framework if you're interested on joining those. And the whole point is that we have a forum and a kind of a catalog of guidance in MSDN, or also a sample catalog of samples available for people to consume. So it's really community work for the benefit of the community together with community. So this is not kind of like Microsoft just coming up with a random recommendations. We want to work together with my community and the field, meaning customers and partners, to come up with the right way of approaching all of their customizations. AKMS SharePoint BMP is the easiest address to remember, and there's a lot of guidance already there for SharePoint.ns as well. This is kind of a set of all of the individual resources, all of the individual things. There's some changes within the URLs based on the previous community calls, but all of the existing and old URLs will work as well. We've just consolidated the URLs in a more suitable way. One thing what you might actually see in the slide is that we have also listed the SharePoint organization repositories as part of the BMP. And that's because the BMP is owned by the SharePoint engineering. And all of the work what we do around SharePoint framework and upcoming samples, the webhooks, the web part samples, and all the goodies which are coming sooner or later are going to be released as part of the BMP guidance as well. So the BMP is essentially the same as general samples, whatever we, if it's coming from engineering or if it's coming from the community. I'm just realizing that I'm actually not showing you a slide, so the slides are not moving properly. So let me actually start from here. Somebody else was seemed to be handling the slides. So as you can see from the URL perspective, we have github.com/sharepoint, sbdev, fx, webparts, and all of that. So we started collecting already samples and code what people can reuse related on SharePoint framework. There will be much more stuff on those repos in the Ignite timeframe. So you will see more and more information from there. Good. Moving on the presentation. So one of the things what we always want to go through within these calls and within these videos is that how do you find what's relevant from a BMP samples or guidance perspective? The GitHub access might be highly confusing because we have significant amount of individual samples in folders and multiple repos. And the easiest way to can actually find these samples and what's relevant for you is to go dev.office.com/bnp, or from the dev.office.com choose bnp underneath the resources. And there we have a sample code samples link, which will redirect you to the Patterns Practices Resources search page. And from there, you can easily use, for example, free text query to find what's relevant for you. So if you're looking into, for example, guidance around how would I customize SharePoint look and feel without introducing custom master page, or how would I provision content types using CSAM, all of that is easily accessible or findable by using this search toolbox and search functionality. Just go there and use the right keywords, and you'll be good to go. Good. So within the last month, we released actually five, and this five or six slightly depends. And Nigel, yes, we are recording. Five or six webcasts, which are available in the dev.office.com. So every single time we release a webcast, it's also released in the dev.office.com/blogs. And all of these webcasts are available from the YouTube channel. Right now, we are adding those webcasts also available in the Channel 9, but gradually we'll be moving away from the Channel 9. Or the YouTube is actually, we want to kind of transform the YouTube to be the main channel. And within last month, we released guidance, quite a lot of stuff related on SharePoint Framework and the client-side webport, which is in the dev preview right now. We do understand that right now, if you are working with a customer on a production customization, that's not what you actually are interested in. So the existing adding guidance, adding all of that in samples, what we have might be much more relevant for your day-to-day work. But at the same time, it's really important to kind of understand what's coming from a SharePoint Framework perspective to be able to easily catch up and stay up to date on the customization options. There's also a webcast around the latest on BMP PowerShell. There's a lot of goodies in the BMP PowerShell, which we went through together with Irvin. And then the new stuff around the SharePoint webhooks, which is a great webcast together with Bert, which is showing how the SharePoint webhooks can be used and what are the assets and resources around that one as well. That's also in a dev preview right now. It is coming to production usage sooner or later. I can't actually disclose the date at this point, but it's coming anyway during this autumn. Good. Just a quick summary on our month-over-month statistics. From a GitHub visitor perspective, we are hitting, and this is for the OS past 2 weeks, we are hitting 11,000 visitors across the BNP repos. If we count all together the SharePoint repositories, we are already up to 15,000 unique visitors for the past 2 weeks, which is a pretty high number. We also collect the GitHub forks and pull requests, and those are increasing steady, which is good. That's a kind of that gives the indication that things are still interesting and interesting. Well, to be fair, the GitHub visitor numbers is indicating if stuff is still interesting, and it clearly is, which is good. Month over month, the percentile growth is around 5% to 10%, depending on which number we're looking into. And then that's a MSDN unique visitors, because the BNP has its own MSDN node for time being. In the future, obviously, the BNP guidance and the SharePoint engineering guidance is the one thing. But for now, the BNP has its own MSDN node where we have adding model guidance, and that's growing quite steady as well. So I think there was like 35,000 unique visitors within the last month, which shows that the material is still absolutely valid. One thing what we always also started doing in April this year, we started tracking the BNP core component usage, because quite often people are thinking, okay, this BNP core component and the BNP provisioning engine looks interesting, but am I the only one actually using that? Or is there a guarantee that if I'm hitting an issue, will other ones be interested in fixing that? And the answer is absolutely yes. So the BNP core component, it's not part of the product. It's not part of the SharePoint. It's not like the SharePoint CSAM nugget. It's a community effort. But there's a lot of customers and partners actually using that. So in August, we hit 2,075 confirmed tenants, which are using the core component, and the Nuget download is declining, or sorry, increasing quite nicely as well. Already on September, we have 1,385 tenants where the BNP core component has been used. And most likely, at this point, somebody might be thinking that, wait a minute, how are you actually solving who's using the BNP CSAM core component? Because the BNP is part of the SharePoint and the SharePoint engineering and the SharePoint service is actually owned by the Microsoft as well. How we do this is that we add specific tags to the client tag property of the client context in the BNP CSAM core component. So that whenever you're executing something towards SharePoint Online, we get a stamp out of it. And then because we have all the sleep, we are the Microsoft, we are at the SharePoint engineering, we have access on the SharePoint Online logs as well. We're able to actually get that information out. If you don't like this to be done, you can absolutely recompile the core components, but we would like you not to do that because actually for us and the existence of BNP, it's really, really important that we're able to track how people are using that and how much usage there is. And using this kind of a client tag option, this is much more easier for us than doing alternative ways of covering the metrics. Good. A few additional kind of a resources. SharePoint developer group. So that used to be the Yammer group and the BNP Yammer group in the Office 365 network. Unfortunately, that has will be shut down actually day after tomorrow, so on 15th of September. And we're moving the communications to the Microsoft tech community section. So if you write HTTP AKMS SPBNP community, you'll land on the right location. We also have a SharePoint Framework Special Interest Group, which is actually meeting every single week, where we cover the latest on the SharePoint framework and development on the BNP.js core. And the next meeting for that one is 15th of September. All of these are, by the way, getting recorded and are available in the YouTube as a recording as well. We also have a bi-weekly office hours, and this is more around us kind of at core team explaining what are we doing right now, what's coming up. If there's any questions from SharePoint engineering, we call them through as well. And then there's plenty of time for open Q&A discussions because quite often these monthly calls are kind of a fully booked. We have demos. We spent the whole hour on covering the slides and demos, so therefore we don't have time for questions. And the biweekly office hours is really targeted for that. If you're doing any customizations with SharePoint for on-premises, SharePoint Online, typically adding model discussion or SharePoint framework discussion, and I can assure you that I can answer any questions around the farm solutions as well, you can join on the biweekly office hours, and then we can have an open discussion there as well. And then the monthly community calls happens on every second Tuesday of month, and those are more around what has happened like within the past month and what's coming up maybe on the following month as well. The monthly community calls usually are 20 minutes of me talking and then multiple demos after that. In September 2016, this is the list of, let's say, the new and updated samples in the existing adding model site. So there's the new sample on the webhooks .list. That's actually on the SharePoint organization site developed by Bert. And that's we have a webcast which is showing that one in practice, actually recorded already way back, I think, in June. Brian Micheli shared a SharePoint React support ticket, which is going to be demonstrated today, provisioning BNP deployer console, funky name, but that actually shows how to do batch creation using this common console application throughout SharePoint Online / on-premises. Really great console as well. Business Office 365 Starter Intranet, this is a great contribution as well from Frank Corney. We're going to see that one live today as part of the demos. There's a solution, SharePoint Sandbox tool, and great tool actually to gather Sandbox solution usage across SharePoint Online tenants, or actually also for on-premises as well. So you're able to actually, you as a tenant administrator, if you have the sufficient permissions or you've been given a client ID and secret, you're able to get a list of all of the Sandbox solutions within your deployment, and it's using multi-threading and all of that, so it's relatively performant. Ruddy Atanasov did a nice update on the ASP.NET Core authentication, and this is actually a authentication or middleware layer for the ASP.NET Core implementation. And that helps on getting the authentication to work with SharePoint Online if you're using the ASP.NET Core. And then there was updates also on the VS tooling, which is available in the PnP tools. On the core component or the core team development perspective, in the core components, there was a lot of actually improvements and quality improvements. There were some issues and bug reports in August, which have been addressed. The BNP provisioning engine, pretty much the same thing as well. There were some changes in the PowerShell side, some additional updates on the existing PowerShell commandlets, which will help the scripts to be A, more reliable, B, more flexibility on different options. And then there was a version 1.04 release on the core component for JavaScript, which is one of the deliverables from the BNP as well. If you are interested, we also have this testautomation.sharepointbnp.com site where you can actually go and have a look on the day-to-day results, for example, on the unit testing. So we run, I think, 400 unit tests or integration tests on every single day, and you're able to check if, for example, something critical is falling apart within the first release tenants. And that's available for you as well. And you are able to also subscribe any notifications if there's anything falling apart. Just a reminder to everybody, please mute yourself. I can hear some background noise on the line, so that's doesn't necessarily get recorded as well. BNP Partner Pack, really big release within this month. So there's a lot of architectural changes or improvements on the BNP Partner Pack in general. So there's a better support for the support for the .bnp template files instead of XMLs that was introduced in a core component back in June release, and now it's actually part of the BNP Partner Pack. There's also great governance and governance capabilities, which have been introduced in the BNP Partner Pack. For example, you're able to say that every single site within my tenant should have a consistent branding. And with the click of a button from the admin UI, all of your team sites or all of your sites will get applied by a custom branding. And that's a pretty significant governance functionality. And Paolo is going to demonstrate that in a few minutes. Whew, a lot of talking, but I want to be actually productive fast, so we have time for the demos as well. So there's multiple, again, tens of people contributed from the community side for this month's release. Thank you very much for your contributions, because you're helping the other people in the community to learn the right ways of customizing. And to give them guidance on the different options on SharePoint customizations and Office 365 customizations as well. So a lot of people from a community side, and also we have special set of companies who've given us the permissions to use their logos, who have given their employees time to contribute on this open source community projects. So thank you for all of these companies as well. Because working in this kind of a community-driven project is highly beneficial for everybody within the community. And hopefully these companies are gaining value out of giving that opportunity for their employees as well. And from a Microsoft side, we have a typical set of people, obviously, and then there's Colin Summers, Mike Morrison, and Oliver Carpentier, which are not like a typical set of people who are working day to day on the BNP core, from a BNP core team perspective. A lot of great contributions for these guys as well. Oliver, as an example, has started working quite heavily and deeply in the SharePoint framework side, with the great examples for the community to use already at this point. But moving along on things, because I want to actually get to the demo section. So Yammer, just a reminder mentioned already, the existing Office 365 developer network or the tech network will be shut down So all of the normal Yammer stuff will be up and running, but the existing Office 365 network, the Yammer network, will be shut down on 15th of September. This was a decision done by somebody somewhere, I don't know where, but the discussion is moving now to techcommunity.microsoft.com. Right now, we started using the SharePoint developer group for the PMP topics, and then we extend from there if needed. You can tag already any discussions using the PMP tag, and feel free to ping any of the core team members if you have any specific questions around the PMP topics. Quick 1 minute kind of an intro on the future stuff. We do not have anything, how would I put it? We do not have any groundbreaking stuff in the queue for October release. Also, we continue working on samples for the SharePoint framework. We continue working on improvements for provisioning engine and the core components, and the quality improvements for partner packs and so on. But we are absolutely open for community contributions. If you have anything interesting, if you want to evolve any of our existing samples, if you want to contribute a new sample, which might be relevant for you as well. But then probably the most interesting part before we go to the demo, actually, just a reminder, if you are coming to the Microsoft Ignite in September, within 2 weeks, there will be a PMP booth in the Office extensibility section. So feel free to drop by. There will be at least one PMP core team member every time of the day in that booth for any demos or any questions or discussions around your topic. These pictures are from a year ago from Chicago, and it seems to be that Irvin had a pretty hectic booth time, at least at the picture, when the picture was taken. I do remember that he was actually showing the PMP provisioning engine, which was quite new at the time, and people were super, super excited of seeing that one in practice. But let's go to the demos. So let's actually start by with Paolo. And Paolo is going to start what's new within the PMP partner pack, and we're going to move into Frank around the PMP starter intranet, and hopefully we have time for Brian as well. We'll see how the timing goes, but it's a really great implementation from Brian around how to use the React on the existing in-today SharePoint customizations as well. But Paolo, please take it away.
Okay, thank you, Vesa. Let me start sharing my screen, and please let me know when you see it. Okay, and in the meantime, let me try to briefly explain what the PNP Partner Pack is, because we are not sure that everybody here already knows about the Partner Pack. Basically, the idea of the Partner Pack is to provide a reference solution for Office 365 and SharePoint Online, which is an open source reference solution, which shows how to use the samples, the guidance, and the patterns that we provide as PMP within a unique solution, which can be used for real in your own and real solutions and in your own tenants, if you like, but that you can also use in order to, I would say, get inspiration or get inspired about how to do some kind of stuff that you most likely need to do in your daily life, like creating site collection, applying provisioning template to sites, and stuff like that. With the version 2.0 of the PNP Partner Pack, as you already said, we introduced some new, very interesting features, like the capability to support the .pnp provisioning template files to store all of the information about the site within a unique file, which can be saved and moved across tenants or across environments simply by moving one single file. Moreover, we introduced some architectural changes to better support the idea to have not only templates of sites and site collections stored within the current tenant, but more in general, the capability to support a gallery, an online gallery of site templates that can be shared across the entire community. So if you now see my screen, can you confirm, please? Okay, thank you.
Okay.
This is the homepage of the GitHub repository for the Partner Pack, from which you can download the solution, the version 2.0 of the solution, as well as the setup instruction, extractions, which are right now manual setup instructions, but pretty soon will be available also a setup wizard, which will improve the quality of life of people who want to experiment and want to play with the partner pack. So let's start showing you some of the new features and some of the new capabilities of the partner pack. And let me go to the home page of the partner pack by itself, which looks almost like the V1.1, but in reality there are some really interesting new features in this layout and in this page. First of all, we decided to completely replace the HTML code we had in the back end with the new HTML code using Office UI Fabric. So almost everything you see in this UI and in all of the pages you will see in this demo uses Office UI Fabric, Office UI Fabric components and styles. And that required a huge investment from us in a matter of time investment, because we had to replace almost everything to adhere to the new UI Fabric. But the result, it is really, really interesting in my opinion. For example, if we try to create a site collection from scratch, and this capability through the partner pack is available to every user, if you like, and you don't need to be a tenant administrator to being able to create a site collection, which is a very often requested capability from an end user or from a customer perspective. Here I can, for example, select one of the templates that I already have in my tenant, but I can also search for templates in a PMP template gallery, which is a website that we will release pretty soon in a matter of few days from now, and through which everybody will be able to submit a template, a .pmp template file, and all the people using the partner pack will be able to consume, to query the PMP templates gallery in order to use and create site based on templates made available to the community by the community. And I think this one is a very, very interesting capability and with a very good potential. Right now, I will use a template that I have in my own tenant, and by clicking on the next button, I will head to the page which will ask me for a bunch of information about the site collection that I want to create. And as you can see, of course, I still have the capability to provide a title, so let me call it monthly call site collection, and let me provide a relative URL, the site policy, and whatever else like the description, the language, and the time zone. And as you can see, the UI elements are based on the UI Fabric, Office UI Fabric. And for example, when I go to the People Picker control, which will allow me to select the site collection administrator, as you can see, I have the new UI of the People Picker with the nice logo, with a nice photo preview of the users. And I will be able to use this nice UI to select the users. And I can do, of course, the same for the secondary site collection administrator. I can, for example, enable external sharing while creating my site. I can enable partner pack on the target site collection that will be created, and I can enable the responsive design. And again, about the responsive design, we stopped using a responsive design implemented just inside the PNP partner pack, but we decided to use the new one that we made available in late June this year, if I'm not mistaken, and which is included out of the box in the core library of PNP. Moreover, we have the capability, whenever we create a new site collection, to enable a flag that will apply a SharePoint tenant-wide branding to the site. So basically, whatever site collection or whatever sub-site you will create, it will get out of the box a unique branding, so a unique logo, a unique background, a unique palette for colors and stuff like that. Then if you click next, of course, there will be a queued job, which will be executed in background by a web job on Azure, which will create the site collection for you. And you can monitor the process going to the My Site Collection page, through which you can see what are the site collection that you already created and what are the site collection that are pending creation, for example. And again, this grid is based on the Office UI Fabric grid. Moreover, from a governance perspective, we introduced the capability, as Vesa said, to play with the SharePoint tenant branding. So if you click on the SharePoint branding menu item, you will see that you can set up with a unique form, what are the logo, the background image, the color file, and all the other stuff that you would like to apply to all of the sites and site collection that you will create. Let me highlight also the information that we also decided to have a UI custom action file URL, which can be a JavaScript file, which will be used to do user custom action embedding by default in all of the sites and site collection, on top of which you will apply the SharePoint branding. If you click the Apply button, you will simply save the branding settings at the tenant level. If you click the Rollout button, again, a background job will go through all of the site collection and subwebs inside the site collections and will apply the branding that you decided to have in all of your SharePoint-wide tenant sites. Again, you can go to the governance refresh site functionality, and through this page, just by clicking one button, there will be another job that in background, one more time, will go through all of the site collections and sub-sites that have been created using the PNP Partner Pack V2, and will refresh the provisioning template applied to them. So in case you created a provisioning template and then later on you update it, you add a new list, you add a new security group or stuff like that, well, if you click this button, in background, of course, this job will update all of the already existing sites accordingly to the new capabilities you added to the template that you updated in the repository of your tenant. One more governance capability is the capability to create a batch of site collections through a bulk file. So you can upload an XML file, which has to be based on a shared XML schema. Here I have an example, just to show you what I mean. This is a sample XML file, which defines a bunch of site collection, two site collections to be fair here. And when I upload this kind of XML file through this page, let me show you what will happen. I can upload the file. I will have a preview of the site collections that will be created. And again, one more time, with a background job, all of the site collection will be created. And as you can see, through the XML file, I'm able to define also the external sharing capability, the responsive UI capability, as well as the branding. So if I want to create 100 site collection, all of them with tenant branding, I can do that just by uploading an XML file. Again, this one is a very, very often requested capability by big and enterprise customers. One last thing I want to show you before stopping my demo is the Save Site as Provisioning Template capability, which is available through the Partner Pack, so that if you want to use the web browser to design, to create your website, later on you can go to the Site Settings page of your site, and you will see under the Site Actions menu, you will find the Save Site as Provisioning Template item, which will allow you, again through the PNP Partner Pack, to get to extract a provisioning template from your live site, to store that provisioning template at the tenant level or in the site collection level, and the overall result will be a .pmp file that you will be able to use later on to create a new site or a new site collection. In fact, if you go back to the site contents of this site, for example, you can click on the New Subsite menu item. And here, again, here you have the out-of-the-box UI of SharePoint, which will be replaced on the fly, on the go, by the PNP Partner Pack UI. And through this custom UI, you will be able to select a template, which could be a template you just stored a few minutes ago using the Save Site as Provisioning Template capability that I showed you. You can select your template. You can move next. You can provide a name like Subsite 01, which works perfectly for me right now. I can again select if I want to apply tenant branding to the new site that will be created or not. And by clicking the next button, there will be another background job which will create near to real time the subsite into my site collection. In fact, if I go back, I will not wait for the subsite creation, but in a few seconds from now, thanks to a background and asynchronous job, which will be raised by a message queued in the Azure Blob Storage queue, there will be an Azure web job which will start creating the subsite, creating all the artifacts, applying the provisioning template, and eventually applying also the tenant-wide branding based on the settings we have in the partner pack. So feel free to play with it. And as you can see now, we have the subsite 01, which is under creation. And we are almost done for this demo. I hope you will enjoy the Partner Pack V2. And please let us know what you think through the GitHub repo by filing any issue or any feedback. Back to you, Vesa. Thank you.
Thanks, Paolo. And by the way, just letting people know, we will record a slightly longer BMP Partner Pack webcast, I think actually this week. So that will probably go live on next Monday. So if you're interested in more on how this was actually implemented, how are those details and how to get started and what are the detailed capabilities, we'll go them through within that webcast. But let's actually move into Frank. We tested the audio at some point with Frank before the call, and I think everything was fine.
Can you hear me?
Yes, all good. All okay. Good. Just feel free to start sharing and move into the...
Can you tell me if you see my screen?
Yep. Let's wait a while. Not yet. It doesn't actually show that you started sharing yet. Let's see. If you choose from a percent and percent desktop, that should be the easiest way to do that, unless... But it's always dependent on network cards as well, so we'll see. Still nothing.
No.
You have to remember to confirm the sharing though as well.
Yeah.
So when you do the, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I did. But no. Well, to share my screen, why?
What we can do also is try if Brian can do sharing as well, and then we can switch back on you, Frank, after that. Because it might be that there's some technical issues, and no worries.
Yeah,
we can and if nothing else, we're gonna record your demo as offline demo, and let's get it included in the recording. I think that's if that doesn't work out. But Prem, let's switch on you then. Let's see if the sharing works for you, if that's fine.
All right. Let me know when you can see that.
Are we facing some sort of a network hub guard problem? Oh, there we go. Now it started loading. Now it's loading at least. I can see that it's starting, so that's good.
All right.
Let's give it a few more seconds, and we should be fine. There's always this. Okay, there we go. Screen sharing works for me, and all good. If I can see it, most likely other ones can see that as well.
All right, sounds good. So this one's pretty simple. It's basically a sample app part. It uses React and does some form and field level validation techniques. If many of you haven't done a lot with that. There's quite a few different techniques out there. But, you know, I used a few different ones, and basically just submitting a ticket item into a tickets queue, right, which is just a SharePoint list. The first sample that I put out there was pretty much just a basic form. You know, it had some of the methods and classes built into that. I'm expanding on that, which I'll update and kind of breaking some of it out in its own classes. But I'll jump in here in just a minute. But so again, this app part sample is based on Vess's PNP app script part example. And basically, it modifies the host web by adding the script part, which is basically in this case it's pre-configured, right, to load the sample React form app. This sample includes a console app that will create the necessary artifacts and add that pre-configured script editor part so that you can select it from your gallery and add it to your page. And you know, I basically made some use of the Office Fabric UI on this first rev. So one approach I took to this was for, you know, at least from a validation perspective, was to create some classes based on a couple elements I'm using, input element and text area element. And these classes basically wrap those elements with some validation decorators, right? And then I can simply add them to the form and add the attributes. And I'll show you that in just a minute. And with the React validation mixin component that I'm using, you know, I can define different validation rules, such as text validation, email validation, etc. So, you know, basically this is the form here, pretty simple. If I'm doing some string validation, right? So it's basically wanting, you know, something to be entered there. We'll just select an impact, description.
So while you are, Brian, actually showing that and filling up the form, just to kind of clarify the setup, because I don't think it's super clear if people haven't actually looked into the SharePoint framework, somebody might get confused on what is a SharePoint framework. You mentioned about the AppScript part, and I can imagine that majority of people in the call are like, okay, what's that? So just to be sure that we actually get that one covered. So this is something what's available, what you can actually take advantage right now today. And this is essentially a JavaScript which is associated to the script editor web part. But it has been packaged in a way that the script editor web part has been pre-configured and it's deployed to the web part gallery. So the JavaScript is there by default. When you add the web, the functionality to the page, it will draw itself as a form using then React as the library on the background. Right, Brian?
Exactly, correct.
Can you actually just, while you're obviously, after you filled up the form, can you just take the web part into an edit mode to show just in practice? What do we have on the script to edit the web part?
Let me jump over. These guys here, if I jump down on my pages here, I'll kind of tell you one. So we'll just do new page, and we'll call it tickets. Great. So I'm going to insert my.
That's a really big thing that you are actually adding a web part. You're not adding an app part. This is not an iframe. So,
right.
And that's a really, really huge difference from a classical app part implementation with an iframe perspective. So you click the web part, and then you have an add-in script part section and group available where we have that functionality.
Right. Yep. And so I'll jump over now and just kind of show you how we pre-configured that. Basically, this right here is, you know, is basically how we configured it. Right. We put our references in there, but my URL is wrong there, so we'll change that. Insert.
A small thing.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't deployed any updates. So there is my form. And obviously it's looking for validation there. But, yeah, if I jump over, and basically my other form, you know, if I go through that, and I generate a random ticket number. But basically all I do here is I hit create ticket, and it says, oh, wait a minute, you didn't fill out your email. So we'll fill that guy out. Ticket title. Oh.
It's a few issues to fix, though.
Full name. Oh, I didn't. I didn't go back and redo my page. Anyway, instead of filling all this out again, obviously it's doing its validation. I'm showing some alerts there, but it does field level validation and form level validation. So as it's trying to submit, it's going through and it's checking to see if these fields are filled out. Jumping over to code real fast. Here's the create ticket form itself. The decorators I mentioned are these classes here. So I'm basically wrapping an input element, right, with some validation pieces. And then I can reuse that and drop it onto the form as you can see here in the render method. I'm using that decorator there, right? And then I just apply my attributes here and other validation stuff. What I don't have is one for the select box yet, but I do have one for the text area the text area and the input. So it's kind of an interesting way to wrap some format and validation decoration around your elements. This is basically just doing, it's doing a an XHR, send. I'm posting my code, my item into the list, and I'm using the app dispatcher here and the ticket actions. So basically, when I hit submit, I'm calling the ticket actions. I'm using the dispatcher, and this is where I'm adding some extra methods to it. But I'm doing a create. The dispatcher basically calls the ticket store. And this is all following some of Waldeck's great examples he's been doing around this stuff. But it's pretty simple. There's not a lot to it right now. But I do want to add some other methods and other things to it. Now, some interesting things on here is some of the validation components, plugins I've used. There's a JOI validation strategy, which I believe has been renamed. But, it's interesting because you can go through, you can add different types of validation to different types of fields, right? Whether it's strings, phone numbers, email, et cetera. That's really pretty much it. I mean, it's a form. Yep, go ahead.
Just to kind of reiterate on the value of this one, this is showing how you can take advantage of a modern JavaScript framework development or modern, let's say, React, as an example, React development, mm-hmm. using existing in-production technologies. So yep. The SharePoint framework, that's coming up sooner or later. Right now, it's in the developer preview, so you should not actually take advantage of that one in production deployment. But what Brian is essentially showing here is that we take advantage of the existing WebPart technologies, the WebPart file. We reassociate the WebPart file with the right JavaScript files within here. We can actually see that .webpart file content there with the references to the JavaScript files in the CDNs. And then there's a div entry within the page, which is getting transformed as the form. And it's fully responsive. It's using whatever JavaScript implementation you have on the background, using whatever tooling you want to use. So
right.
it is a really, really nice demo on using the modern set of doing development already in the existing in production versions as well.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of great stuff around. Being able to do this now is great because, as you start using some of this new modern approaches, right? There's a lot of neat stuff out there, and just digging into the form aspect of this, right? I'm finding a lot of things in progress around, you know, schema form generators. You know, a lot of cool stuff out there that you can take and you know, literally generate the form without you know, doing a lot of hand coding of all your elements and, you know, get creative around that. And so, but being able to do something like, you know, leveraging, you know, what you had done, Vesa, with the app script part approach, right? It's a great way to do some of that now, right, and get your hands on it and start playing around with it. So.
And kind of going around the classic app part limitations with an iframe, this way you can do modern experience without the iframe limitations. The right. sample is anyway out there. It's available for people to download. If you have any questions out of it, please use the Microsoft tech community at microsoft.microsoft.com for questions. But let's try one more time. Frank, if you try taking over and just start sharing. Crossing fingers that everything goes well, because I know that the stuff what you've done and contributed on this month is really, really huge as well. It's a really, really, really nice example. And it looks promising. Not yet. It's okay. Loading, but the fact that we're able to say that it's loading is super, super promising. Still loading. But the icons look really good and promising. So while we're waiting that screen sharing to start, just to kind of clarify what Frank has done, he's combined a lot of, let's say, classic BNP approaches and BNP patterns, I can see as well, thank you, Frank, to a one more fine-tuned general solution. But I'll let Frank to talk about that one in practice, so take it away.
Thank you. Okay, so today I will present my latest contribution to the PNP repository, which is a solution, a starter intranet for SharePoint Online. So first, to get the solution, just go on the PNP GitHub repository and either download the solution or clone the repository, and then follow the instruction at the end of the README file to deploy the solution. Okay. Next, once you've done your setup, just create a new PowerShell script like this, and call the deploy solution script with your parameters. So the only thing you have to do is to create a publishing site collection within SharePoint Online on the administration site, and then deploy the solution. Can you hear me well? Or it's okay.
All good. You are talking slightly too close to the microphone, so it's catching up the breathing, but that's fine. And just a kind of a quick point, you're just about to say that deploy solution is, by the way, an awesome example of usage of BNP PowerShell, right?
Yeah, I use the remote provisioning engine to deploy all artifacts like master pages, page layouts, and configure the sites. So yeah. Sorry about the PowerShell commandlets too, so don't forget to download the latest version of PNP PowerShell commandlets. So after deploying the solution, this is what you get in your site collection. So this is a very basic example of a publishing intranet. Honestly, the intranet solution are almost the same. Basically about the page management, the news creation, all those stuff. So this is a responsive solution by design. So I use Bootstrap to do this. I know this is not a best practice to update the master page, but for now you can't just do JavaScript injection to build a global solution, a global intranet solution. I tried it. This is too complicated. So you have to update the master page, to create a custom master page, just to insert the container markup, the HTML container markup for the global solution. So as you can see, it is a very classic Bootstrap implementation. So I reused the components in the framework. As you can see, there is a little tweak about Bootstrap here. I isolated the Bootstrap framework into the main content area. So because for those who have worked already with the Bootstrap with SharePoint, you probably see that the ribbon have some conflicts with the Bootstrap CSS. So with this version, you have an isolated version of Bootstrap in this this container. So Bootstrap starts here under this. So okay, let's take a look at the solution. So it uses the default publishing infrastructure of SharePoint, so classic pages. On the front page, I leverage the search web parts with the custom display templates. Okay. So for the news creation part, I can show you the news creation part page experience. So just go here. All pages are stored in the pages library. So you have static pages like about PNP or pages like this, and you have a special folder called news, where you can create the news page. So just create some news. I've created some default page layout, so feel free to update them. But it's a very the basic page experience of SharePoint. No customization here. So, and you can see the display mode of the news. Okay, so you have a contextual menu, the top navigation bar. By the way, all the navigation components are based on the taxonomy service. So there is a template behind the top navigation bar shared with the breadcrumb and the contextual menu. So when I edit this page, you can see all the fields are stacked. Why? Because we don't want to manage the responsive behavior in edit mode, because basically it's too complicated and it is not useful for this part. So I've created some basic metadata. Feel free to delete them if not required. But basically, I leverage the basic publishing feature of SharePoint. So you have the item scheduling behavior here. So you can set a start date and an end date. And also the most important part here is there is a basic bilingual or multilingual management. So let's say I create my news. I'm on the English part of the internet. So I create a news, blah blah blah, some volume zoom, no image, not important here. Okay, and I save my news. So this is the English version of the news. Then I can just translate the news. For example, just translate in French. Okay. My news is created, and as you can see, all the UI turned in French, because in this solution, the language context is given by the page itself, not by the site, like SharePoint variation do. By the way, I don't use the variation feature. Why? Because it's very complicated in a SharePoint online environment to play with this this feature, because you don't have the control over the timer job. Okay, so from a contributor point of view, it can be very annoying waiting too much time for the page creation. So next, you can just switch the language of the page. It's just a basic, very basic association system. So and all the labels are translated in the taxonomy in the taxonomy time set. Okay, so this is the part for the multilingual stuff. In this solution, you have also a basic search. So search here. I made some predefined categories, so you can set you can search for documents or people. By the way, for an intranet in Office 365, you don't necessarily have to implement your own people search because within Office 365 you have several ways to search for people. For example, if I search for people here, I'm redirected to Delve. Okay, this is a simple way to manage the people search. Okay, so this is all search web parts here. Okay, with custom display templates. So nothing new here from a SharePoint point of view. Okay, we have just a preview of your page. Next, you have also a cache system to improve performances. Okay, because you work the solution is implemented with using JavaScript. The performance is a point a really important point. So you have to control you have to implement a small cache system. So in the intranet, you have a special list here called configuration. And here you can control the cache. By default, items, taxonomy items for navigation menus are retrieved directly from the temp set, but you can disable this behavior and retrieve the item directly from the local storage, the browser local storage. So I will show you. If I do this, the navigation menus are loaded from the local storage. Just to show you, here you have two, one for English and one for French, for navigation nodes. So you can control the performances of the whole solution. Okay, now if I go to the behind the scene in the code, okay, so the solution is implemented using Visual Studio Code and uses a lot of modern web development tools and technology. The first one is Webpack. I use Webpack to configure all the solutions. So basically, Webpack is a bundler. So it outputs all the solution into one or multiple chunks. So you can see here a dist folder with all my stuff bundled. So the first tool I use is Webpack. Then I use TypeScript for all the TypeScript and Knockout JS to have a modular architecture about the components. So there is a view model for every component, okay, for the breadcrumb, the top navigation bar, the search box. So with this solution, we leverage the Knockout component binding feature. I think this is the same in the Sharpen framework. So just to show you what happened with component binding. For example, if I want to deploy some components in my master page, so this is the master page. Just I have to write something like this, a custom element, and it will be replaced by the appropriate components. So it is very useful to get a modular architecture in your project. Okay. Next, I use also the PNPJS core library, especially for the REST communication with SharePoint. For example, just for this part, just to give you an example, just to get this information, the page info information, I use the PNPJS core. So I can show you, for example, here. So the PNP JS Core library is very easy to use. So you can see a call is done like this. Very simple call, and then you get the result, and you do what you want with the results. That's pretty it for the solution. If you want some, if you want more details about the solution, I wrote some article, detailed article about the solution. So feel free to consult my blog or explore the code. But I think this is it for this demo. Yeah, basically this is it. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Frank, for this. And sorry for that. We went slightly long on the time. We know that some people needed to talk, but everything is getting recorded, which is good. But I really wanted to actually you to have the time to walk through the solution, because it's a great solution and it takes advantage of such and many things from the BNP and from a community contributions perspective as well, because there's the BNP JavaScript core component is taking into use. You use the BNP PowerShell to get stuff deployed. You use already right now the modern ways of doing JavaScript development, even though it's not taking advantage of the SharePoint framework, because absolutely you can do that. And there's a lot of effort and thinking around the caching as well, which is one of the classic challenges in the portal customizations in SharePoint Online, no doubt. But thank you, Frank, for that one. Also, thanks, Brian, and thanks, Paolo, for great demos today. Like mentioned in the IM window, the recording will be available in the BNP YouTube channel within 24 hours. But since we are already slightly above or long on the time, let's close up the call. And if there's any follow-up questions, feel free to ping us in the Microsoft Tech community or in the issue list. And please go through, for example, Frank's blog post around the solution. They're really well explaining what the internet solution is all about. So really great stuff. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Thank you, everybody, who contributed on the September release. And we'll hopefully see you guys later in the October monthly community call. So thank you for joining. Cheers.